So first, this is our last full days, and tomorrow we will finish at lunchtime. So really to use opportunity to the full, and in terms of all the preparation for leaving, this will happen tomorrow. So don't worry, you will be able to get out. You don't have to worry about that. So you don't have to think about it now, because tomorrow there will be the right chair, there will be the bus, and everything will be really well explained. So you don't have to worry about that. The managers will take care of it tomorrow morning. And so really, in a way, being here, because this is an opportunity to be together, to be in silence, to practice, to have the support of the group, of the schedule. And so today, we come to the last component of the five. And again, to see that they're all connected with each other. And this last one especially, actually perception, is very connected to everything else, but especially tonality. The tonality, we really depend on the perception. And so, first, what's a definition of perception? You could see perception in two different ways. I mean, the classical definition is that perception is what identifies objects as this rather than that. So perception is what is going to help us to differentiate, to distinguish between this and that. Perception is what helped me to see this is a ball and this is a clock. And I could try to read the time here, but it might not work. And I could try to bing the clock, and it might not really work as a bell. So in a way, I can see perception. Ah, bell, to ring. Ah, clock, to see the time. So it's just the ability to differentiate. And actually, this is what is going to help us. Actually, that's what's going to become wisdom. Then you have perception, but then you can have misperception. And so, in a way, you could say a lot of what the practice we're doing is to help us to misperceive less, so that the perception becomes much clearer. And then also, in developing the perception, then it develops clarity, it develops wisdom. But of course, perception can also become judging. And then again, judging is a very useful function, but also judging can become a very harmful function if we judge ourselves, if we judge others in a harmful way. And also, perception is very much about meaning. And this is where you can see the connection with the tonality. According to how we perceive something, which means according to how we understand it, to how it means something to us. I mean, a very simple example can be that you could have a Chinese character. So often you see this beautiful black and white, black with ink Chinese character. So perception. If you don't know Chinese, then you see on a white background some black sign, and you might think, it's okay. But if you know Chinese, then you see it, and it's not just black on a white background. It might mean patience. And then patience might evoke something. And if you're a Buddhist, patience really has a very rich evocation, rich meaning. And so you see the thing, but actually you see more than that, more than just a contact. With the perception, there is a whole thing around it. With this patience, I see, patience. then it reminds me of this quality. But you can also look at it in terms of perception that it's actually beautiful. If you're somebody who is really knows about calligraphy, really knows about Chinese art, then you don't only see black and white, you don't only see patience, you see, wow, that's a beautiful one. Somebody else would not see much in it. So again, according to the perception, you might have something which is relatively neutral. Or you might have a tonality which is, patience, yes, patience. Again, a little of that, the tonality we talked about in terms of renunciation yesterday. Or we might have, And then you could have possibly ordinary gladness. Wow, that's such a wonderful, rich, beautiful calligraphy. This is such a great artist. And so in a way, according to the perception, we might have very different feeling tone with the same contact. And so this is kind of something to notice, to help us to see that according to the perception, we might have different feeling tone. And then often there is misperception. And because of misperception, often we might have pleasant or unpleasant feeling tone. I had a friend long, long ago who used to be a Buddhist monk in Thailand. And he used to go down a road around lunchtime to receive the offering from the people. And there was this lady who used to give him this little, very nice, kind of tasty, kind of little, like kind of nuts, roasted nuts. And so he was very happy when she gave him this, and he used to eat it, nice crackling, nice taste. Until he asked, "What is it?" And he was told, "Fried ants." And then he changed the street. And it's the same thing, you could say. But one, he has a certain perception, the other one, he has a different one. And that immediately changed the tonality. The same with an experience I had many years ago. I go to teach in a retreat center in Austria. And so the first time I go there, I see this beautiful bouquet of lilies. And I think, wow, they're amazing, this lily. What beautiful lilies in that nice meditation room. Wow, that's nice. So I have perception, contact, pleasant feeling tone. And then for 4 days, the lilies stayed exactly the same. So I started to have doubt about the perception. So finally I touched it, and it was plastic. And so every year I have the same lilies, still as beautiful as ever. But as soon as I perceived that it was plastic, the tonality changed a little bit. So the meaning of it was a little different. So with this thing, it doesn't matter so much. But sometime we have tendencies, and we might have different sensitivity, and sometimes we might have different triggers. And so if I look at when I was young, I was very afraid of the dark. So as soon as I had the contact with the dark at night, I would feel afraid. So dark, danger, fear. And so the tonality was generally unpleasant. And then in Korea, sometimes you have this week where you don't sleep at all, and you just sit all day, all night. And so we decided, girls, we were 5 of us, we would do one of this. The monks decided not to do it, they were tired. We said, we're going to do it. And I was very happy to do it, but I was afraid. because I thought, wow, you know, if I go out at night to the toilet, I'm going to really be so afraid. And so I went to the teacher, and he said, just come back to your anchor, come back to your anchor. And so I thought the anchor would protect me from the bad guys out there. So I would go out in the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then afraid, and I would say, at the time I was doing a question, what is it, what is it, what is it, what is it? And then I would go to the toilet, you know, next night, what is it, what is it, what is it? And then the third night, I go out, I have the contact, I have the fear, and then suddenly I see perception. But instead of being identified, lost in perception, I see clearly what I'm thinking. And what I'm thinking is, there is a bad guy out there with a knife, he's going to get me. And my heart goes, and then suddenly I looked, I questioned the perception. And then I thought, but I am in the middle of nowhere in Korea. Who would know that I am here to come and get me? And immediately the fear went. So this is interesting. This, you know, you have the contact, you still have the contact with the dark. But then you interpret the experience in a different way. And so this is the thing. We have the contact, you can, I mean, I'm okay with the dark. I still have a little room, but I am not overwhelmed by it. Because there is not that speed up of interpretation. Because then you have the contact, attention, intention, the whole speeding up. And then you can be very afraid and you can feel like you're going to have a heart attack. Instead of checking, questioning the perception, is this true? Is there really somebody there going to get me? And so this is what is, because one of the difficulty, and I think that what the meditation can help us, is that often we have this impression that if there is a thought, a perception in my brain, it's true. I mean, a lot of the time it is true. This is a clock, this is a bell, I mean, this is true, this is fact. But just because it's in my head doesn't mean it is really true all the time to the same degree. And so in a way, bringing the mindfulness to perception is actually asking, is this true? Is this like that? Is it like that all the time? So in a way, kind of bringing some clarity to the perception so that then there is not what I would call that harmful, just building up of it and then making us very frightened or what is it, whatever it might be. But then what can be also interesting is our perception of self and others. So how do we look at ourselves? How do we look at others? Because that also is going to make a difference to the tonality. And how do we interpret? And that's where today we're going to make the link between perception and the qualities. Qualities of loving kindness, quality of compassion, quality of rejoicing, appreciation, quality of equanimity. And how actually the shifting of the perception can liberate more of the quality, or turning to the quality can shift the perception. Because like, let's say we are on retreat or we are in daily life and somebody does something which could be a little disturbing. And then, okay, the person does something. I mean, here, for example, you might have a case that you are in a you share a room with somebody. I mean, so, once it happened many years ago on a retreat, when somebody was sharing a room, and the person would speak in the middle of the night. But the person was totally not aware they were speaking in the middle of the night. I mean, my husband does that a little bit. You know, we're sleeping and suddenly he's very agitated in the middle of the night. So we share the bed so I can kind of, you know, make it so he stops. But if you're sharing the room with somebody, you cannot, hey, I mean, you can, if it's too much. But the way you're going to feel about it will depend a little on they do it on purpose. Often we think, oh, the person, they do it on purpose to annoy me. Or the perception can be they can't help themselves. So if we perceive, it happens, they cannot stop it, then actually the way we look at it is very different. We will have more compassion toward them. So in a way, it's kind of, in a way, looking a little bit at the Brahma Vihara in terms of perception. So for example, loving kindness. Loving kindness is really, when we look at the quality, when we cultivate the qualities in meditation, to me the first thing to do is actually that if we think about ourselves or if we think about others, can we look beyond all the experiences we have had with them? Can we look beyond what we like or dislike about them and then reach out to the human being who is alive, who is breathing, who is suffering? And then I had that experience actually, that when I saw my father die, I really understood impermanence. And then that actually, really knowing impermanence really changed my perception of people. Because before, I would relate to them with the history I had with them. After that, I related to them as this person in this moment. And it totally changed my relationship to my mother. I would just relate to this human being right now, who is breathing, whose life rests upon a single breath. So you know, it changed the perception, and then it changed the relationship. Compassion. Actually, compassion, the idea of the Buddha is that it's an antidote to cruelty. And that has a lot to do with perception. Either we think somebody does it on purpose, or either we think they're nothing. And I can, I mean, this nowadays, a lot of this is happening in terms of perception. People see people are representing Islam or representing Jewish people or representing whatever. So in a way, you don't perceive, like what recently there is this killing of all these people. And when you see the photo of the people, you have the little child, you have this guy who was a hairdresser, and you have this, all these people, ordinary people just like you and me. And it's like suddenly somebody decided, Finnish people, they're bad. I'm going to get them. And then he would come here and kill most of us. And it's kind of like the perception. This is what happened. If you don't see the human being, the life, the history of the human being, then actually we can be very cruel. And so instead, with the compassion is, can I see the person from the point of view of suffering? This is what the Dalai Lama say again and again. Compassion, you have to see that you suffer and they suffer. And if we move from the perception that we're both suffering, then actually our connection is very different. The way we relate to the person is very different. And then there is another quality we can cultivate, is mudita, which is appreciative joy, altruistic joy. And this is, I don't have the time to go in detail, but we can do, I thought maybe this morning I would do a little guided meditation of appreciative joy, if that would be interesting for you. And then this afternoon, Sari is going to do a guided meditation of loving kindness. But personally, I think appreciation really works. Perception and tonality. In two different ways. One way, for example, with effort. You do something, somebody do something, and then it doesn't work. And then what do you perceive? You perceive I or they did not try hard enough. But actually, they might have tried the hardest they could. But for whatever reason, it did not work. So can we see that although the result was not there, they really tried? And then the perception will be very different. The way we will approach the person, we will not judge them, they did not get the result. But we will appreciate the effort, and we might look with them. Could they be a different effect? Or do we have to go a different route? Another interesting perception is about happiness. You know, you have somebody who comes to you with a really happy news. Oh, this is happening, this is wonderful, don't you think so? And then you say, but what about this? What about that? And if this happened, and then they, ooh! And actually, one is actually influenced by feeling torn in the future. And you think, but what if this happened to you? But it has not happened yet. We could be happy with them in the present. Or sometimes the other thing is that if they get that much happiness, then actually they're taking away something from us. Because there is only that much happiness. And if they get that bit, I'm not going to get it. But actually, happiness is not like that. If you're happy with them, there is even more so. Same with success. Somebody is successful, you think they're taking success away from you. That's an interesting thing. I mean, this you can see with Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and the likes, you know. Ooh, he's got so many likes. Ooh, and I only have that many likes. Ooh. You know, and you get more. Then I won't get them if you get those. I mean, you know, anybody can do as much like as they want. These likes won't take away your like. That's what I play. I put picture time to time on Instagram. And I put several. Because I want to see what's going to be the perception of the other people. There is a perception I have of the photo. And the one I think, you know, is a better one or what. And then I want to see what's their perception. I find that very interesting. How we have different perception, which then leads to different likes and dislikes. Because we have to see that all these, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, etc., they actually work on contact, perception, feeling tone, and attention. No? If somebody has a million likes, then you hear about it. And then you also go there and you see it. If somebody has two likes, nobody hears about it. That's also very interesting, where the attention goes. And then the last one is, in terms of perception, is equanimity. Equanimity can shift the perception and the feeling tone so much. And if it can go back to the being in the queue. We are in the queue in the supermarket. And we get to the queue, it must be the fastest queue, it becomes the slowest queue. And then the question is, how do we perceive this? Do we perceive this as, I have no time, I am in a hurry, this is terrible. or do we bring equanimity in? And then, if you bring equanimity in, suddenly you have all the time in the world. This is what is strange. One moment you have no time. You come back to the breath, you come back to the body, and then you have all the time in the world, in one nanosecond. And so that also is quite interesting in terms of that. So in terms of the quality, what is often called meta-practice, has everybody heard about it? Everybody knows about it? Who doesn't know about it? Okay, some people doesn't know about it. Okay, the idea is that you have a quality, and the practice there is a little different than what we've done up to now. And here, often what is used as a method of anchoring is certain phrases. Like with the metta practice, may I be happy, may you be happy, may I be safe, may you be safe, may I be at peace, may you be at peace. You can have different type of phrases. It's not a prayer, but it's just a sentences which orient us toward that quality. Loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, or equanimity. And then you generally have, you start with yourself, and you do this silently, inwardly, and then you take each person, either you bring the name or the face, and you say the same. May you be happy. May you be at peace. May you be safe. And then you might take lives outside the room, the tree, the animal, the people, and again, the same thing. Basically, with the loving kindness, you're wishing well. With the compassion, it will be more in the, may you be free from danger, may you be free from suffering. The appreciative joy, I'll do the phrases with you. And then equanimity is more accepting things as they arise, being balanced, being stable. So one can use the repetition in silence of the sentences, or if this feels a little either artificial or seems to make more thought, then one can go more like to the quality, kind of to the evocation. So you could just bring the word loving kindness or wishing well. And then in a way you could nearly like imagine yourself wishing well. Everybody in front of you, everybody at the back of you, everybody at the side of you. And then it's kind of like this wishing well, kind of just being with the wishing well. Or, I will show you with the appreciation, you could move to the experience. So there you would bring a little more mindfulness. And can I experience some happiness right now? Could I share this with others? Can I experience some peace right now? Would I share this with others? Can I experience some safety now? Can I wish this for others? So in a way, one has to see. Some people like to use the sentences because it's very anchoring. Some people might like more to orient toward the quality. And some people might prefer to be more with the experience. So that's one way we would directly cultivate these qualities. Or you could do it just within being aware of the breath, or being aware of the sound, being aware of the body. You could just try to bring a friendly quality. So in a way, in the awareness itself, there could be the quality. So you would not have to go and cultivate directly the quality. So it's for you to see, do I continue with what I've been doing up to now, but make a little more emphasis of the friendliness of the mindfulness? Or do I try to orient toward the quality? So that's what you can possibly explore this morning. And also when you do the walking meditation, the same. You can kind of, you know, wish well or appreciate what you see, what you hear, the people around you. And then maybe at the discussion at the end of the morning, then we can see if you have questions or comments. So that makes sense. Okay? So then if we stand up and just stretch a little,